After our Savior came forth from the grave, he presented himself physically to the apostles. He was going to give them a commission at this time. And he said, look here. He says, see the prints of my hands? See this pierced side? It's me. And they believed that it was him. But there was one missing. You remember what his name was? Thomas, wasn't it? So the apostles are so excited. They, Thomas, guess what? The Lord is alive. He came to us and we saw him. We talked with him. What did Thomas say? I don't think so. Unless I see the prints in his hands and see the hole in his side, I'm not going to believe. And it was how many days later? You remember? 8 days later, it says in the scripture, Jesus appeared to them again. And there he stood before all of them, and he said this to Thomas. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Oh, I tell you what, it would be a great thing to see my Lord. To physically see him and touch him and be with him. What a great opportunity that would be for me. But Jesus says it's better if you have never seen me, yet you believe. And he goes on to say there in John chapter 20, verses 30 through 32, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe, and that Jesus, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. See, God had a plan. His plan was for the Word to become flesh, the Word to die, to live again, and leave us with the Word. He had a purpose in making sure that we had a written word. And since we no longer can see, we need the word to hear and to believe. Then John later on writes in his first epistle, 1 John, he says, the things that we have heard, the things that we have seen, we declare to you. And these things we write to you. He says, I write these things to you. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, these things I write to you that your joy may be full. And then he goes on to say in chapter 2 and verse 1, these things we write to you that you may not sin. And thirdly, in chapter 2 and verse 26, he says, we're writing these things to you concerning those who may deceive you. And the last thing he says in chapter 5 and verse 13 of 1 John, he says, we write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. We've got to believe. And we have got to grasp a hold of the Word of God with a heart of belief. Not doubting like Thomas. Not requiring a sign like they always wanted. Give me a sign, Jesus, that you are truly who you say you are. You see, brethren, the Word of God is persuasive. The Word of God is convincing. The Word of God is comforting. And the Word of God will challenge your heart. And what I mean by that is it will challenge the status of your heart. Where is your heart in regard to believing God? And that's what makes the difference between us obeying and not obeying, is the condition of my heart. What condition is it in? Jesus spoke a parable about hearts. It's actually, we call it the parable of the sower, but really, truly, it's a parable about hearts. About the condition of men's hearts when they hear the Word of God. So go to Luke chapter 8 with me, and verses 11 through 15. This is the explanation of the parable of the sower. And Jesus tells them exactly what he is talking about. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's just pretty easy, isn't it? Word of God is the seed. Remember, he's going to sow the seed into different places. Well, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. And the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, and bear fruit with patience. So four different types of hearts here that Jesus is describing. The one on the wayside. A path that has been packed down hard. A road that is never going to be hoed because it is just all kinds of hard. A heart that is hard, that maybe hears the word of God. The sower has come and spread the seed upon the heart of this man, and it just lays there on top. Because it is so hard, it does not want to listen to what the word has said. The devil's already got this guy, right? He's already got him. But he wants to make good and sure that there's no opportunity for this heart to change. So what does he do? He comes and snatches away the word from this heart. I don't want to lose you, so I'm taking away any chance for you to have the word sprout up within your heart. That's the one on the wayside, that heart. Is your heart hard like that? You've heard the word of God, but it just does not have any effect upon you because your heart is so hard and the devil just takes it away. Secondly, the rock. So you sow that seed into the rock and some falls down into the cracks and there's a little bit of moisture there. There's a little bit of dirt in there and poof, up sprouts this little plant. And it is so happy to see the sunlight, and it starts to grow, and it's, oh, joyful to be alive. This heart has received the word of God, and they believe for a while. And whenever this desire within this heart conceives, this lust conceives from James, you know, talks about this progression towards sin, this desire within this heart then conceives and brings forth sin, they fall away. There was no root whatsoever. That little plant had no opportunity to grow deep and strong within the rock. But rather, the temptation that came to that heart then allowed them to die. The thorns. I hate thorns. My coon dog died this year. I don't know if you knew that or not. He would drag me through the thorns. And I would have him stuck in my hand and in the side of my face. And he was happy. He'd just trot right along. I hate thorns. But there's thorns in our life, isn't there? Our life's full of thorns. All kinds of stuff. Stuff that gets in the way of my life. All kinds of things that don't allow me to grow. And Jesus talks about these thorns, how they choke the cares. They choke the man's heart because of the cares of the riches and the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Is this your heart? Is your heart so full of the cares of everything else in this world that you're not allowing God to grow within you? Well, here's what Jesus said about these individuals in Luke chapter 9, just a few pages over here, verses 57 through 62. He says this. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I've got a good heart. I'm going to follow you, Lord. Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But this one said, "Lord, let me first go bury my brother." My father, actually. And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God." To another one he said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." And Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus says this about those individuals who allow the cares of this world to choke their heart. Let the dead bury the dead. And don't look back if you have decided to follow me. Where's your heart at? And the last heart in the parable of the sower is that that has a good and noble heart. He hears the word. He keeps it. And what does he do? He bears fruit. So we have all opportunities in our life to have a heart for the Lord. What's that look like? Who are you in the Lord? Where is your heart? And when you have to hear the word of the Lord, what does it do to you? Jesus gives us a biblical example of these different types of hearts that men can have and how they react to his word or something that he has done for them. So go with me to John chapter 11, and we're going to look at the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And he said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. It doesn't take that long to start stinking, does it?" Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father," remember he was sorrowful about Lazarus dying. He says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you have sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Can you imagine being with my Lord and seeing this? What would your heart be like then? I know he is who he says he is. There is no doubt in my mind. I just saw a man come out of this grave that was wrapped up like a mummy. And he's still stinking a little bit, but he's alive. Some of them grave clothes would be all soaked up in that juices and stuff that was coming from his body. Get the point, right? Yeah, go scrape that coon up off of the highway over there and throw him in the living room for a day or two. Yeah, the carpet's going to stink for long. He was gross, and here he came walking out of this grave. Jesus, you are truly who you say you are. But let's look now as we go on. Verses 45 through 57. Many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, they just experienced this, believed him. Many of them did. So we're going to see some different hearts here. We're going to come back to them. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. And the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into a country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim. Or Ephraim, however you want to pronounce that. And he remained there with his disciples. But the Passover of the Jew was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think? Think he's going to come? Think he's going to show up? That he will not come to the feast? Both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. Three different types of hearts here. They saw, all of these saw Lazarus come forth from the grave. The first ones believed. They believed. They saw the things that Jesus did. Their heart was ready to accept. They had no doubt that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, and that he could save them just as easily as he made Lazarus alive again. They believed. Verse 45. Verse 48, though we see a different bunch of people. Some had went and told these Pharisees about what had taken place, and so this council gets together. And if we leave him alone like this, everyone will believe him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. What in the world's going on with these guys' hearts? They're a little bit selfish, aren't they? Whoa, 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 what about me? What about my position as a Pharisee? Having control over all these people? Being powerful and mighty in our nation? We can't let the Romans come in here and destroy what we have. Look how well we've got this. This is perfect. This guy's going off and he's doing all this stuff and making some changes, and it's not good for us. Apply that to you. Are you carrying a selfish heart within you? Whoa, 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 Jesus. Are you saying I've got to do this in order to be a Christian? You say I have to give up that in order to be a Christian? You're saying I've got to love Michael in order to be a Christian? And look at Doug back there. Yeah. Who does he think he is? Or do you have a selfish heart? One that's not willing to give up me so that I might be saved? So that I can believe that Jesus Christ can do anything and all things to me? Where is your heart? And the last heart here in verse 56. They saw Jesus, spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think? That he'll come to the feast? Here we have some doubters again. I highly doubt that he is even going to come to the feast now because of the pressure that's been put upon him. Look at him. He went off to Ephraim. He hid in the wilderness for a while. I don't think he's even going to come. Yeah, mom and dad, they go to church. Yeah, I kind of doubt that this is even true. Is this even real? I don't think so. Where's your heart? Are you doubtful that the Word of God is true? Are you doubtful that Jesus came and died for you? Boy, we can really mess up our hearts. We really can. What are you going to do when you hear the word of the Lord? Where's your heart at? And how's it going to react when you hear the word of the Lord? In Ezekiel chapter 37, this is what God said to the prophet. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. and it was full of bones. So here we have Ezekiel looking at this valley full of bones, dead, dry bones. And God caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry, dead bones. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Dead, dry bones. No life in them whatsoever. And what was it that could bring them to life? Hear the word of the Lord. It's powerful. The word of the Lord is powerful. So where's your heart? Is it like these dead, dry bones? No life in it whatsoever? Will your bones awaken to life when you hear the word of the Lord? Or will the devil come and snatch it away so that you cannot have any opportunity to live again? Hear the word of the Lord. If you don't have Christ in your life, you're just as dry and just as dead as those bones that Ezekiel saw. Hearing the word of the Lord is important because it can change you. It can make a huge change within you. But we have to submit to our Lord. We have to let him know that I've heard you, Lord. I have seen the power of the Lord through the word. And I know that you expect me to submit to you, die with you in baptism, join you in that watery grave so that we can be alive, my bones can once again live for you on this earth, walking as a new man. If you have that need this morning, make it known as we sing the song of encouragement.